B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Choking you. You mean you just can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. And I mean, that's a weapon. You know, that helmet's a weapon. That could really bring some serious brain damage to a person.
Mm-hmm. An NFL helmet weighs 4 to 6 pounds.
Yeah. What I saw. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So imagine grabbing a 5-pound weight, because it's legitimate, putting it on a string and slapping somebody across the head with it.
Absolutely, yep.
I mean, seriously, he could have. It could have been a scenario where Rudolph is laying on the ground and his head is just gushing blood.
Yeah,
and I mean, it was inches from that happening.
And we're just talking about the helmet itself. We're not even talking about the power that could be generated by an NFL football.
Yeah, right. 270-pound.
Yeah,
the explosiveness that you know these players have these days. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's full windmill. If you haven't seen it yet, I mean, who knows? People's alarms might be going off right now. It's all over Twitter. I know. I retweeted what our friend Adam Schefter had put out there, the video of it where he just said it's just unbelievable is what it is. Unbelievable, unspeakable. It's unreal. It's a windmill motion of a football helmet against another player's head. And Mason Rudolph, again, give him credit. Man, just he took it.
Like a champ. Took it like a man. And then got like a man. Knocked on his ass again and took that like a man.
Yeah, he did. And he bounced up.
Yeah.
See what he called the guy when he was on his butt?
Yes,
yeah, he had a choice word.
It's a word Mike Scott and now Joel Embiid.
That's right.
So a couple of people have tweeted this in. Remember Albert Haynesworth incident?
He stomped on the guy's head.
The neck.
Yeah,
With spikes on. So I guess spikes is technically equipment as well.
Oh, sure.
He only got a 4-game suspension.
It's a different NFL, though, now.
That's where I'm leading you. You both think this is going to be much higher than that was, right?
Imagine you've been going through this whole movement over the last, really since CTE, it came into real knowledge.
It's all about head safety.
And you mean to tell me right now that you're going to allow this to happen in the safer NFL? I mean, even a 6-game suspension, like that's what's going to be for the rest of this season, at least.
At least. At the very least.
Imagine if it was against, like, say a Tom Brady or a Mahomes or a Wilson or somebody like that.
If it was Tom Brady, Roger Goodell would have appeared just like on the field somehow.
Lifetime ban.
And just like handcuffed Myles Garrett, taking him away. And that would have been the end of it. You never see Myles Garrett again.
I mean, look at it. He'd have been in New York. He'd have landed on a chopper immediately in Cleveland, you know, before the 8 minutes was off. Yes. The 8 seconds are off the clock.
Right. Tom Brady's on the ground?
Right.
I can't believe the Cleveland or PR people allowed him to talk to the media after the game. That's shocking to me.
How about their quarterback? What the hell is wrong with him?
Oh, Baker Mayfield, what he said? I hear you as a teammate, you don't want to hear that, but as a human being, I don't mind it.
Yeah, well, I'm not thinking as human, I'm thinking as a player.
I mean, I know, you hate to hear your teammate say, like, what the hell was he doing? That's inexcusable
and stuff like that.
But that's how egregious it was, I took it, Barrett. I hear what you're saying. I was surprised that a teammate said that also. But that's how egregious it is that one of your teammates is looking at you going, like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
You know, I'm all for having everybody's back. We all have each other's friends, you know, obviously family, that's what we're about. That's how we were brought up.
Yes, exactly.
But, man, sometimes something like that, sometimes it's hard. And as a teammate, I can't say that I would have been out there protecting him.
Scott Zolak will be joining us now at 8:20 to help us break down this Eagles-Patriots game. So we'll be joined by him in a little bit here on 97.5 The Fanatic WPUN Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hours brought to you by Univest Bank. If you're frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance, there's a simple solution. Time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. Let's get to, who do we have up here? We have Rasheem, North Philly. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Rasheem?
Hey, what's up? Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Do you feel as though Mason Rudolph had any, did anything wrong in that scenario?
No.
Do you feel as though, No. I understand it was a late hit, but if you looked at it, he's trying to yank Myles Garrett helmet off. He's throwing punches on the ground. I'm kind of confused exactly, like where's the point? I understand Myles Garrett ripped the man helmet off. When you're fighting, are you thinking about when you're throwing punches, well, let me not hit him right here because I might hurt him? Like, it was a heat of the moment. I understand it was an egregious situation as far as him hitting the man with the helmet, but to me, I just look at it, I came up different. So,
Rasheem, I double dog dare you to attempt to justify anything Myles Garrett did last night.
I'm not justifying. I'm asking you.
That's what it sounds like.
Because it was a fight. Mason Rudolph was doing the same thing, just that Mason Rudolph.
No, he was not.
He wasn't doing anything close to the same thing.
Seth Jordan said the same thing. I'm kind of confused. And Emmanuel Acho specifically said the same thing. I'm not justifying what Miles Jarrett did, but I want to make it seem like he was just, you know, all the way out of line, or he initiated the fight.
He was all the way out of line.
He wasn't. He wasn't.
He started the penalty.
He wasn't out of line.
15-yard penalty.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. He wasn't out of line. Mason Rudolph was trying to rip this man's helmet off to him. He was throwing punches to on the ground. I watched the whole video.
I watched it 600 times this morning, Rasheem. There's no way it's justified for him to stand up for 5 seconds, tug on a helmet, take it off, wait for the guy to stand off, and then swing it at him in the head.
What was Mason Rudolph doing the whole time?
Grabbed him around the head.
Okay, he was trying to rip the man helmet off too. Yes or no?
For a second.
Was he trying to rip the man helmet off? Yes or no?
Yeah, he was. They were both trying to rip the helmet off. Okay. But who hit who in the head with a helmet?
You're making it seem like Mason Rudolph had no.
I'm making it seem like he's not the one that used a deadly weapon against another human being. Okay, which is what happened.
And he lost his cool. I never said that I agree with him.
He lost his mind. Rasheem, he didn't lose his cool.
Rasheem, so just to prepare you for when you have this conversation again, don't have this argument.
Why not?
Because it's a dumb argument.
It's not a dumb argument.
It's an extremely dumb
argument. Emmanuel Acho specifically said the same thing I'm saying.
I didn't hear what Emmanuel Acho said. I don't care what he said, okay? Because anybody trying to justify what Miles Garrett did in any way, shape, or form, even with something as simple as that he lost his cool heat of the moment, forget about that. Heat of the moment means you throw punches too. It doesn't mean there's a 15-second delay between you getting in a tussle with a quarterback, ripping his helmet off, and then swinging full windmill motion into that quarterback's head with his helmet. There's no justification for that. You want to talk about throwing punches? That's heat of the moment stuff. But when you use a weapon against somebody else, that's not heat of the moment. That's calculated. All right? It's ridiculous. Let's get to Alejandro. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Alejandro?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
Mark Farzetta, y'all going a little crazy here. You need to take this to People's Court. this is self-defense.
What was self-defense?
I'm just kidding.
Alejandro, I love you, brother. Don't give me two of these back-to-back.
Dude, listen, I love the Eagles, man. I don't want to talk about the Eagles. We need that to the People's Court. Let them handle that case.
All right. No, Alejandro, I'm gonna say this. You're not. I would love to watch it.
The
plaintiff, Miles Garrett. He allegedly punched in the face and then used a helmet against Mason Rudolph. He brings you in the People's Court.
I witnessed it. I was on TV. I watched it.
Oh, you were on that?
I watch it on TV. I've seen everything.
Yeah, Judge Judy, by the way, is the new People's Court.
But let me get back to my Eagles.
All right.
I believe that the Eagles are going to pull this out. I think if they hold Julian Edelman and Mohamed Sanu to under 5 or 6, because this guy's Tom Brady's throwing the ball like 47 times a game. So he's throwing short routes, and them guys are catching it. You know, that's what I can say about my Eagles receivers. They catching them balls. So we slow them down on offense. I think our defense is going to stop their run. I don't think White going to do too much with our defense. So and it's going to be cold. Mm-hmm. So the man is like 40-something years old. Tom Brady ain't going to be able to take these hits.
That's true. And old people hate cold weather. You make a great point, Alejandro.
And he's going to be stiff.
Yeah, because he's old.
And there you go.
He's going to be stiff.
He's got a 10-year plan. What is it? Well, don't die? No, that's the problem.
Well, what he said, what else is about stiff?
Yeah, I never heard that analysis before. He's going to be stiff.
He's old, Bob. He's like really old.
He's going to be stiff getting out of bed that morning, so he's not going to play well, Alejandro.
Well, I mean, Bobby, the stadium's going to reek of Ben Gay.
I think he got knee braces on both his legs.
Yeah.
And he strapped his ankles.
Man, he won the Super Bowl about 8 months ago.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Alejandro, thanks for the call, brother. I appreciate it.
What?
Barrett, you had been talking about that, though. Barrett Brooks in today for Trey Thomas, who's sick. You had mentioned that about Tom Brady's knee brace before. Have you not? He was wearing a knee brace last week. Seems to always wear that knee brace.
He always wears that knee brace, man. I mean, he's not the swiftest guy in the world. He understands what his self-limitations are, so he plays accordingly. He is a mental player as opposed to him being an athletic player. I mean, it's two different games than, you know, it's like Lamar Jackson on one end of the spectrum, and then you have Brady on the other end of the spectrum. He doesn't want to be moved out of that one spot. So, in turn, that's the way they protect him. They protect that one spot. He gets the ball out of his hands. fast because his offensive line, like they said, is not that good.
Yeah.
But when you look and see what Fletcher has done over the past couple weeks, how he's become a healthy Fletcher Cox, he is dominating in the middle. I mean, I watched against Chicago Bears. They had this defense where they had Fletcher on one side, and if you look, they had four other guys on the opposite side. Do you know they still pushed the line to Fletcher Cox? They turned the line to protect you to Fletcher Cox. And that's why they had that sack. What's his name that just got here? Number 55. Well, he got that sack because they actually turned the protection away from four other guys. There was 15 guys out there on one side of the field, and Fletcher Cox over there by himself. And they still turned the line to Fletcher Cox, and he almost still got there. That's how much of a force he is. So they're going to put him in a position where they're probably going to have BG and Fletch playing the three technique and the one technique, creating pressure up the middle, which makes Brady very uncomfortable when he has to move his feet and throw. He's not one of those dynamic throwers like Carson that can throw on the run. He wants to get the ball out of his hands as fast as he can. So I think the key matchup in this game will be arc slot corner, the guy on the inside, Avante Maddox, against Julian Edelman. That's going to be the matchup everybody needs to focus on and watch. Those two are going to battle throughout the day. And may the best man win. And whoever wins that matchup, more than likely, will be the determining factor of who wins this game.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll be joined by Scott Zolak of 98.5, the Sports Hub up in Boston, a sister station right here of 97.5.
Enemy station this weekend. Well, but sister station in our hearts.
Well, sometimes you hate your sister.
I don't know. Scott on in a little bit. We'll talk about this matchup coming up here. And what can the Eagles really exploit of the Patriots, if anything? 610-632-0975. Time to the Fanatic is 8:11.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
This fine 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com.
What is this music? What is this? Is this
How Do You
Tupac?
Want Me?
Is this Tupac?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was like, this is a little smoother than we're used to.
Yeah.
Tupac would bring out the sexy every once in a while.
This is a Trey Thomas special.
He's
Trey,
a poet.
Out sick today.
He had his Poetic Justice shirt on yesterday. Trey did.
Yeah, that's
he did.
Correct.
That's right.
That's correct. Barrett Brooks in with us in studio right now.
I'm not giving y'all none of that. I'm just not that smooth. Letting y'all know.
You know who is smooth?
I'm rough around the edges, bro.
You know who is smooth?
Who's that?
The king of smooth, some people might even say.
Who's that?
That'd be Scott Zolak, who's on the air on the line with us right now, all the way up from New England. Scott, what's up, brother?
Scott.
Hey, don't be tripping on that Tupac, man. We play that. We bump that back on our show all the time.
Scott, how you been, man? These Patriots, how do they do it every single year? Now 8-1. Some say you haven't played anybody yet, but you can't say that against a team that's won six Super Bowls.
Coach and quarterback. I mean, I think, you know, one thing over 20 years we've had that stability. And you look at some of these teams in the league, and you know, you guys down here have gone through some different coaches over the years. You know, Andy was really good. I think you got the right guy again now, and Doug. And, you know, you got to be a good play caller. You got to have a guy who can pull the trigger. We've had that. We've had a good kicker. We've only had two kickers over Bill's tenure here in 20 years. It was Vinatieri, who's going through some struggles, and Gostkowski gets hurt this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's been here for 14 years. Good kicker, good quarterback, hell of a coach. And then just put together a decent defense, and that's what we've had.
Speaking with Scott Zolak, a former Patriots quarterback, now a analyst, obviously, and also working with 98.5, the Sports Hub, up there in the New England area. Now, the interesting thing here is we're coming off of not just the game last night, but also going into this fine Sunday with the Eagles and Patriots. But to get your reaction from last night with Myles Garrett, what did you make of the play between him and the incident that happened between him and Mason Rudolph?
You know, at that point in the game, you're lucky I'm even sticking around. What was it, 21-7?
Yeah.
I actually saw it live and started to fall asleep on the couch. I couldn't go to bed last night after it. Like, you sit there and you rewind it. You rewind it. You just look at the aftermath. And then you see Pouncey come in. I don't know who the hell the other guy was, 65, who actually hits Rudolph after he's standing there.
Yeah.
When his hand's up in the air, he gets ejected too, I think.
Ogunjobi or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just stupid. There's no place for that in this league. But, you know, we saw Cleveland earlier. They are, Bob Sosie's my play-by-play guy. We're sitting there, we're going over the play card and name cards before the game. I'm like, I can't remember last time we faced a team like this with that much talent, meaning Cleveland, top to bottom. And they're just so poorly coached.
Yes.
They're just so stupid in some of the things that they do. And I don't think there's much hope for them. I think they're going to be consistently a 500 or below 500 type team. And that's a shame because you got a decent quarterback there. But, hey, he breathes the same bravado as Coach does.
Mm. Do you think Myles Garrett is going to play for the rest of the season? Do you think he plays next year?
No. And I think a lot of guys, you see some of the guys in the league, you know, going to social media and saying, what would that be if you were out in the street? It's actually assault. You know, and then it's assault with a weapon. So, I mean, how would you handle something like that if this is on the street? But it's not a street. I mean, we have fights all the time in this league. You see head-to-head. You see illegal hits. But, I mean, it's minimum 4 to 6 for this guy. I'd suspend him the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. Speaking with Scott Zolak, Patriots color analyst for 98.5, the sports hub in Boston. So, looking at this game going into it, Patriots, obviously, like I said, coming in 8-1. The only mismatch that we really see here is the Patriots struggling against two tight end sets. That's how specific we have gotten. And the Eagles obviously have two very good tight ends in Dallas Goedert and then most notably Zach Ertz. How much do you think Bill Belichick and his defense are going to be focusing on those two tight ends?
Well, hopefully, Wentz isn't as fast as Lamar Jackson is. And that's really where we struggle. where do you see Lamar Jackson in person? I mean, the guy is slithery. You know, I remember Vic when he played. I think this kid's quicker than Vic. He limits the hits on him. But, you know, we faced the tight ends before with you guys. I'm sure they looked at a lot of that Super Bowl tape just to get sort of a feel of how Doug likes to call it and free up these guys on the crossers. And Ertz is a really good double move guy. But we're facing a different quarterback for the first time, and I think that's the biggest thing. But we're not that defense that they were 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. We didn't have much up front. You know, got Jamie Collins back, Hightower and Van Noy playing at a great level, and then Stephon Gilmore's a pretty good lockdown guy. And how do you handle Aguilar on the outside? You know, and he's a big guy, it's physical, and you know we got our hands full this week, no doubt about it. Plus, you got to factor in the fans. We're in Baltimore a couple weeks ago; it's loud, but your fans are nasty down there.
Yeah, we've heard a story or two about our fan base here. The interesting thing, though, Scott, about the Patriots defense. It's extremely versatile. I mean, a number of guys, like 4 or 5 guys, have 4.5 sacks on the season. A number of guys in the secondary have at least 3 interceptions on the season. You never really know who's going to hurt you. I mean, speak a little bit about the diversity you guys have on defense.
I think you just speak to Michael Bennett not being here. You know, he was here for a couple months. He couldn't pick up the different fronts, the different schemes they like to run. You know, and he even said it down in Dallas. He goes, I can pick up any defense. I just can't pick up New England's. They will substitute 5 to 6 players every snap. And for them to do that, never have 12 men on the field, it's pretty impressive what they've been able to do. Our former linebacker, Gerard Mayo, he coordinates a lot of stuff with Steve Belichick, Bill's kid, and then they all huddle together each series with Brett Bielema, so the former Arkansas coach. He does the line. So in conjunction, all three work together to pull this off. And the defense is really talented, guys. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to see the schemes and chess match between these two with Bill and Doug and how they call games.
Yeah, I think that, you know, going in with Carson and his mental capacity to go out there and run the offense, I think they are going to use a little bit of a hurry up just so we can keep those you know, formations and play calling, you know, at a fast pace so they can stop all that, you know what I mean?
It's what we did last, you know, 2 weeks ago against Baltimore before the bye. You know, Brady went, hurry up, we're in 13 personnel with 3 wides, liked the matchup that they had. Josh McDaniels and him went hurry up the entire game. And it's dicey because here's the thing. If you don't hit your first one, you end up 2nd and 10.
Right.
And then you don't hit that, you're 3rd. Then you put your defense in a tough spot because you got a lot of snaps out there for those guys. And that's how we got our ass kicked 2 weeks ago like that.
Scott, I see 19 interceptions. I see only 3 touchdowns allowed defensively. I know you guys have, you just said the defense is really, really good. You've played some pretty bad quarterbacks also in that. But what is it more a product of? Is it more a product of the opposition, or is that secondary that good?
You know, they've taken a lot of hits for that based on who they play. But you got to play who you play. The big thing with them, I'm going to take the Baltimore game out of it. And they actually figured some things out second, third quarter to bottle him up a little bit. And then the Edelman fumble happened. A lot of bad things happened to us in that game, things that we don't do. But secondary is that good. I mean, you got the McCourty brothers, and they've been playing together forever with Daron Harmon. And Daron was with those guys at Rutgers. And it's Gilmore, but the big guy is Jonathan Jones. He's our nickel slot guy. If he could cover up the inside guy and negate that, it allows us to do a lot of things back there as far as bringing our safeties up. We do a lot of blitz zero, a lot of cover one robber. So they will send the help. And that's something we haven't done in Bill-type defenses over the past 5 years.
Speaking with Scott Zolak, the color analyst for the New England Patriots broadcast. Now, the other interesting thing is you mentioned Carson Wentz earlier. He's a guy who's had a bit of a – if you just look at the numbers, they don't look that great. But the wide receivers for the Eagles have dropped a lot of passes throughout this year. I think only the Giants have more dropped passes in the NFL. You look at how they've really been competing, and you mentioned also Nelson Agholor. He's had a struggle-filled year. Would you see, if you're the Patriots, would you anticipate seeing a little bit more Carson Wentz running the football in this game? Not necessarily mimicking what Lamar Jackson did because he's not that guy, but maybe seeing a little bit more read option?
If it's 3rd and 3 or 4, I think that plays into Philly's hands, right? I wouldn't really want my quarterback, especially him, and you saw what happened when he got hurt out in L.A. that one year. You really don't want that where 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, he's taking off. With bodies flying around out there, but he should be able to pick up some of those key 3rd and shorts, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4 with his legs. That's something I would worry about if I was New England because he's big, he's athletic, and he can carry guys. If you're having a tough time with receivers, go pick up AB for 2 weeks. That was a fun 2 weeks up here.
I'm sure it was. What is your can I ask you for a prediction? I know some people that do the broadcast, they don't like predictions, but can I ask you what you're expecting to see on Sunday?
I'm a homer. I always pick New England. Don't be asking me that. I tell you what, I'm over and under on as many cheesesteaks I'll eat at Pat's.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay, well, first off, treat yourself. Take yourself to Tony Luke's, my friend. Get that sharp
Tony
provolone.
Luke. Where should I go? Tony Luke's?
Tony Luke's is where you go. That's my favorite place because they got the sharp provolone. That's the way to go.
All right. I like the cheese whiz, though.
I don't do the whiz. I get criticized in my own city for not liking the whiz. I gotta like the whiz. I don't like the whiz. I like the provolone. Sharp provolone.
Classy cheesesteak, guys. You're gonna grow up in Philly then,
man. just a suburban kid, I guess, in the Philly area. okay, what can we expect? How do you see the game playing out, at least?
I'd say, you know, us coming off the bye, now you guys are coming off the bye, too.
Mm.
We really play well coming off the bye. We really do.
Yeah.
We got another week with Sanu, another week with Watson here. N'Keal Harry, that's a big one, our first-round pick. He's been on injured reserve. He didn't do a thing all year. He traveled to Baltimore. We didn't activate him. He could be active on the outside, so he's an Aguilar-type size kid along with Jeffrey. He may play in this game. So Edelman's another week healthier. I think 2 weeks really helps that type of guy. And a couple guys with Nixon Bruce's. We really don't have any injuries. That's a big thing. Start a trend to get healthy here. I don't know. I like us in a tight game.
All right. Well,
it's a big, great one.
I will have you know, Scott Zolak, I will have you know that the last time the Eagles and the Patriots faced each other, where they're both coming off a bye, the Eagles won 41-33.
Yeah, and our quarterback was 505 yards.
Scott,
hopefully we play our cornerbacks in this game, right?
Yeah, right.
Touche. Thanks. So, any chance there's a pass to Tom Brady in this game?
No. Last time he did it, he got hurt.
There you go. Or dropped it. But, Scott, thanks so much for coming on with me. Really appreciate it. Enjoy Philly while you're here, my friend.
Can't wait to get down. I love that city, and you guys take care. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Scott Zolak, 98.5, the Sports Hub up in Boston, the Patriots color analyst for the radio broadcast. Does a great job.
Since 2001, 18 times in the regular season, these teams have had a bye week. They're both 14-4.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I imagine most teams do well after a bye.
Absolutely.
But 14-4 is damn good.
I'll say this about Scott. He's just New England enough.
No, I,
like he didn't get on my nerves.
I
like,
got on my. Got on my
he got on your nerves.
Yes.
Well,
yes. You know, I got quiet.
You played against him.
Yes, the snarky. BS. I'm mad.
I don't like him. I don't like him more because he's from Pittsburgh.
Huh?
And I don't like Pittsburgh. I know you had some success out there, Barry.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, them guys, they kind of rub me the wrong way, man. I mean, I've done a lot of interviews this week, just from talking to them, NBC having, our sister stations up there.
Sure, yeah.
They just rub me the wrong way.
Tom Curran rub you the wrong way up there?
I just talked to Tom yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, man. It's,
is that why you're in a mood?
Yeah, man.
You got the stink look on your face.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It pisses me off, man. Come on, man. Get out of here. You're the Patriots way. Man, go ahead on.
You were thoroughly annoyed.
Yeah,
I had never really seen you this annoyed.
That kind of just rubbed me the wrong way, man. That really pissed me off, man. Hey, Nelson Aguilar, let's make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. It's time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Let's time.
We all had
let's
to bite
make
our,
it happen.
We all had to bite our tongues it's when time. He was like, "How do you contain Nelson Aguilar?"
Yeah, we
like,
kind of all looked at each other like,
"He does it himself."
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, you just have to kind of stand there.
That's because he misquoted. He thought it was Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, he said big guy.
Never make that mistake. Julian Edelman, that's the guy we're trying to stop. We stop him, we stop the offense.
Right. I'm telling
James White is their second best receiver.
That's the sight that keeps going through my head is Edelman just catching balls on the run to down the middle.
Exactly.
Like somebody tackle him.
That's why I say we need to have a great game out of Avante Maddox. He has to step up.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, because we've been talking about the Myles Garrett thing all morning long. You had told me once that somehow magically your wife prevented you from doing something stupid on a football field.
No question.
What was the story?
Well,
was,
you know, you fight, you get a fine. So I'm out there, we're fighting, and we're in the dome in Detroit.
Detroit, you're playing for the Lions at the time.
Playing for the Lions. So me and Sap get into it. We start fighting, and she's like, kick his ass. That Monday, I got the slip, the FedEx package. They fined me $25,000
for fighting Warren Sapp.
Yeah, so then I got my check. They take it out your check before you even get it. So long story long, I got that check. I gave it to him. Like, what happened to all the what's going on? I say I got fined for fighting. 3 weeks later, we're playing Minnesota Vikings. Dude jumped in my face. I'm about to hit him, and we're in the dome. I heard her voice out of everywhere out there. No, stop. I hear distinct. It was so loud, Charlie Batch turned around and said, "What is that? Is that?" And I instantly stopped myself. We can't afford it.
Wives, man. They get you.
That's hilarious.
They get you. Kevin, Newcastle County, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, look, hey, I like what Barry said with the two tight end sets, because that really would be our strong set. It's less drop passes there, and then they may try to take that away. Then we got to input Sproles or somebody else that can catch the ball, and keep them off the field. I don't want to get into a shootout. Like they said, that hurry-up offense, if you don't connect, it'll bite you in the behind, because now, next thing you know, boom. They're on the field.
Right.
So I want to go with the two tight ends, and I'm hoping, just like Bob had mentioned, that they put BG next to Fletcher Cox, and they penetrate right up the middle, so that way you knock Tom Brady off his spot. I remember when Spags was dealing with the Giants defensive coordinator, said, look here, just even if you don't get the sack, just make sure you hit Brady. And that's what we have to do, man. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to do. EAGLES. Eagles, let's go! Oh,
woo! He got his coffee this morning.
Yes, he did.
Woo!
Maybe a little turbo in there as well. A little double shot, if you will. Thanks for the call, man. And it is a fine football Friday brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law. For the power of justice, for accidents, malpractice, nursing home abuse, remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. It seems to be that type of thing every time you play the Patriots, though. It's you got to get after Tom Brady. You got to hit Tom Brady and all that. The Eagles are going to have to go with more of that NASCAR-type package, where, Brandon Graham and playing more of the defensive tackle position.
Absolutely.
Because you're not going to blitz Tom Brady, because he'll pick you apart and all the cliches you want to. We all know it. Okay, Tom Brady's been around 20 years. We know the deal with Tom Brady. but they need to get that penetration from their front four. It has to come from guys like Vinnie Curry even being brought in and Avery being brought in before the trade deadline. Those guys have to be on top of their game if you're going to see the type of production you need to see to beat Tom Brady again.
Well, it's imperative that you got to speed his clock up. You know, he's so used to going out there and really diagnosing things really fast that you have to do something to counter him going out there and doing that. You can't give Edelman the chance to run all the way across. You know, it's hard for a DB to carry a receiver all the way across. Yeah. And he's doing, he's running around there doing it. It's almost like he looked like Pac-Man out there. You got to stop all that. And the only way you can stop all that, make Brady uncomfortable, push the pocket in front, not necessarily on the outside, but he needs the pocket to be pressed in front of him. They need to stop that. He shouldn't be able to step. If he can't step up into his throws, that's when errant passes develop. That's when he can't go out there and feel comfortable. When he doesn't feel comfortable, no quarterback, they start seeing ghosts. Even the great Tom Brady will start seeing ghosts if you start hitting on him a little bit.
Right. And Barrett, as we know, this Patriots offensive line sucks.
Yeah, they're bad, man. They're bad. But, I mean, you look at Newhouse. He's in there for I forget what the draft pick, but their first round draft pick.
Wynn. Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah, but he was great when he was at in Georgia. You know, I don't know if he's going to be back this game.
They say he might be. You know, he had a toe injury.
He's really good. Yeah, he's really, really good, man. But Newhouse, I mean, I remember he was with Green Bay. He sucked then.
And Shaq Mason's terrible at right guard. So,
right, exactly.
Like, there's real opportunity for this defensive line to not blitz and get real pressure. And they're trending kind of in that way. I really think Derek Barnett is really close to figuring it out on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. Fletcher Cox has been pretty dominant the last 2 weeks. And BG's having a hell of a year. Yeah. So if they can get pressure without blitzing, it's favorable for the Eagles.
I really feel a Fletcher Cox game of, oh, my God, look at him. I think this week off may have helped nobody more than him as far as getting healthy. And just because I agree with you, James. He was really getting there. I think this week off we're going to see like one of those Fletcher Cox performances.
He has an attitude right now, too. He feels a little slighted because he doesn't have the numbers. I think people kind of disrespecting him, thinking he's not the same caliber player that he should be. And in all actuality, I mean, just like when I explained, you know, you're on the defensive line, and you have Fletcher Cox over there on the left side by himself, and then on the right side, you have five people that are basically, you know, ready to rush the passer, and they still slide the line to Fletcher Cox, the protection of Fletcher Cox. And he still almost gets there. It just so happened that the four guys on the side that had two people blocking him, they get there before him. But he was right there.
That's a beast. That's a beast, man.
That's just respect, man. And he's always going to get double team and triple team because of that. So, yes, I expect a healthy dose of Fletcher in there will then make White stay inside and help with blocking. And if we can keep White inside the pocket and have him blocking, that means he's not out on the route because he's probably their second best weapon on the offense.
Yeah, James White.
All right, coming back in a minute, we're going to let you hear the play-by-play call of the Myles Garrett incident from last night with Mason Rudolph. We'll also let you hear how Myles Garrett tried to explain it after the game. We got Lou, we got Jake. At 9 o'clock today, we will talk to former Eagles long snapper John Dorenbos, who's going to be doing some great things in our area very soon. Time of the Fanatic is 8:41.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I've been hearing your bold prediction today, Jamie, with Nelson Agholor coming up with a big play.
Well, you know how much I despise Agholor right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's so for me to say that took a lot.
That's why it's bold. It's not like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It's lava hot.
Yeah. What's hotter, yours or mine? Mine, Boston Scott touchdown.
Whoa.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Well, if Jordan Howard's out, Certainly increases those odds.
Yeah, Jay Ajayi being brought in for a workout. Jordan Howard ain't playing. that's how I feel about it.
It's troubling, yeah.
Now, real quick, I do want to get this in. As I promised before the break, Myles Garrett was involved in an altercation last night where he basically assaulted Mason Rudolph of the Pittsburgh Steelers. During the Thursday night game in the waning minutes, about a minute and 20 left in the game, Myles Garrett hits Mason Rudolph late, drags him down to the ground late, which is already a penalty. The ball was well released from his hand at that point.
Oh, yeah.
They start tussling on the ground. Mason Rudolph still on the ground. Myles Garrett's on top of him. He rips the helmet off of Mason Rudolph as they stand up. And Myles Garrett, with the helmet in hand in full windmill motion, comes down on the head of Mason Rudolph. Assault with a deadly weapon.
With the force of God.
The force of a 270-pound, 6'4" man.
Yeah.
All right?
Explosive man.
A 23-year-old stud. All right?
The number one pick in the draft a couple years ago.
Yeah, right on Mason Rudolph's head. Mason Rudolph took it like a champ. Like, he brushed it off, if you will. He didn't catch him with the square crown of the helmet, but he still got him with the helmet.
Right.
This was not helmet to helmet. This was helmet on skull. All right? So Mason Rudolph just kind of looks around for a flag. Then another player comes in, Agwajobi, I believe is how you say his name, from the Browns, and pushes Mason Rudolph to the ground. So all hell breaks loose. Here is Joe Buck and Troy Aikman with the call on Thursday Night Football last night. You will hear a moment where they see the play again through replay, and that's when you really hear Joe Buck react. Here it is.
Mason Rudolph. Garrett, they're swinging a helmet.
Yeah, there'll be some ejections coming out of this.
There may be suspensions.
That's right, suspensions.
And it was Garrett. That was well after the play.
Well, he tackled Rudolph. Rudolph didn't like the way that he was tackled.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. Rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits him in the head. And then Ogunjobi comes up and hits Rudolph from behind.
Beyond words, Joe.
Oh, gosh. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
The only thing I've seen that really compares to it is Malice at the Palace, but that is worse because you're going into the stands. I'm not old enough to remember the Bruins altercation where they jumped into the stands themselves.
That was all fan stuff.
That was fans. Yeah. Well, I mean, Bilberry did go into it. Exactly. That involved fans.
Yeah.
But this is a guy taking the helmet off a player. And then, Mike Piazza once threw a bat at Roger Clemens after Roger Clemens threw at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah, I was cool with it.
But this is a guy taking a guy's helmet off and using it against him to hit him with it in the head.
He didn't take a helmet off. He ripped that helmet off.
Yeah.
His head was almost still in the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
That's how hard he was ripping it off.
See, that's how it's calculated. This wasn't just a reactionary, our helmets are off and this just happened. This is a guy ripping the helmet off, full windmill motion, to knock a guy out.
Yeah.
Put it this way. If there was a nail in a piece of wood, with the force that he came out with, he would have banged that nail all the way down into the wood. Like a hammer.
Yeah, there you go.
With the force that you have to hit a nail,
yeah,
he was even harder than that, coming across trying to hit him. And he didn't. Somehow, Rudolph turns his head just before the helmet hits him. And if he didn't, that could have hit him flush on in the forehead and the temple. We could be talking about something real serious today.
Here's Myles Garrett after the game trying to explain what happened on the play. Here it is.
I made a mistake. I lost my cool. And, I regret it. It's going to come back to hurt our team. The guys who jumped in the little scrum, I appreciate my team having my back, but it just never got to that point. That's on me.
Like, that's the only responsibility he really takes for himself. It shouldn't have got to that point. That's on me. Did he issue any kind of apology?
Sure didn't seem too remorseful.
I mean, I'll say this. He didn't go with heat of the moment or anything dumb like that. But, the more I hear
I lost my cool is kind of, the same.
Yeah, I wouldn't have incriminated myself either, though. I can't
believe the PR staff let him go out there sit with the media.
You're absolutely right, man.
I mean, it's the first thing I thought of this morning when I got up and I see that there's quotes from him. I'm like, what? sorry, he's out. He's out, And then the police come into the locker room after the media's leaving. The police go into the locker room to approach him.
Mm-hmm. That's what somebody tweeted out.
Yeah.
Like, this is bad. That's one of the worst, and I'm older than you guys. I'm telling you, one of the worst things I have ever seen on a field.
If Mason Rudolph would have successfully ripped off Myles Garrett's helmet, and he was trying to do the same thing when they were both on the ground,
yeah,
and then they both start swinging at each other, fair game.
Like, sure.
You guys are, first off, you're smart enough to take the helmets off, because you're not landing anything with helmets on. Good for you guys. But when Myles Garrett uses the helmet to hit Mason Rudolph, all bets are off. Myles Garrett's done for the year, at least, and most likely done for next year as well.
Because the NFL has taken this stance to rightfully or wrongfully, years ago, to police their players on off-the-field actions,
yep.
Right? Especially violent off-the-field actions. They took it upon themselves, we are going to take care of this. Well, now it's happened on the field, and now it's happened, like, right in your own arena.
Uh-huh.
They have to set a precedent on this. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be severe, and it's got to be swift.
Seeing some people on Twitch, I know other people have said this on Twitter as well, that, what did Mason Rudolph say to him? Who cares? Like, first off, do we know he said anything?
Right.
We know he called another guy, a bitch earlier in the game.
Yeah.
He's getting his ass kicked, so, I mean, he's probably not saying anything. Like, when you're caught up like that, you're not saying anything at that
you're
point.
You're speaking in tongues.
Like you're trying to save your life, man. You got a guy that's ripping you apart. You know, you're not trying to really say anything. You're trying to save your own life.
Absolutely. Coming up in a minute, we're going to speak with Eagles long snapper John Dorenbos. Coming up in a minute here. We got Lou who's been holding here. Lou in Bethlehem, we appreciate you holding. What's on your mind, man?
Gentlemen, good morning. Happy Friday. Thanks for taking my call. My main concern, I want to get back to the X's and O's, but first things first. Barrett Brooks, thank you so much for the time you put in as a Philadelphia Eagle.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're a true warrior, bro.
Appreciate you, man.
Coming up to that, all right, a little mention on Scott Zolak, gentlemen. Very snarky.
Thank you. Lou, you felt it too, right?
I totally. From the first words. Listen, man, I remember that guy from Tecmo Bowl, and he sucked there too. Lastly, you briefly mentioned it in your last analysis, Barrett, but I got to tell you, James White, is he not the top three runner catching the ball out of the backfield?
No question. Yeah. No question. Well, I think he's the new H-back now. You remember they used to have H-backs back mm-hmm. in the day? I think he's more so an H-back that they use, in passing down. They put him everywhere on the field, man. He's the joker in what they try to do as an offense.
And the X-factor, in my humble opinion, man, against our pedestrian linebackers.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.